You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center in Oxford, Mississippi. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center just off of the Oxford Square. Fine show for y'all tonight. We've got Connor McLeod here. He is the Hebridean baker at home from the Hebridean Islands there in Western Scotland. We all know that. He has a wonderful cookbook out, and I don't know, about every third dish is made with whiskey. So it's going to be a great time hearing about this great food. Also, we got Richard Grant, one of our favorite authors, who wrote a great book about Mississippi. Yes, that one. Remember the Dispatches from Pluto? He's got a new one now, even crazier. Is in fact called A Race to the Bottom of Crazy: Dispatches from Arizona. So we'll be talking to Richard Grant about that. Also, hearing some great music from Memphis, Tennessee, y'all. Jeff Hewlett and the Hand-Me-Downs, some good country rock. And one of our favorites coming on, I believe she's going to do a little tribute to Coco Taylor, do some blues for you. Our own Effie Burt is here, y'all. We're your lover. We love y'all. Y'all get together and welcome to the stage our house band, the Yellow Bushwhackers.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, y'all. One more time for them. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, my man Paul Tate, Brady Reese helping us out on the harmonica, and up front, the great Effie Burt, y'all. The Yalla Bushwhackers. They'll be back later in the show. Alrighty, Connor McLeod is the author of The Hebridean Baker, At Home, Flavors and Folktales from the Scottish Islands, from Source Books. He has, this is, right?
It is, it sure is, yeah.
Source Books?
That's right.
Are they enjoying your kilt?
I hope so. I hope so.
I came this close to wearing mine. So glad I didn't. I wouldn't want to clash. Recipes as well as stories, as the title might lead you to think. Music is a big part of the culture. Connor himself is a singer as well as a baker. This is third or fourth book now?
It's my third book, yeah.
Worldwide bestseller. We're very happy to have him here. And what I really enjoy about him is he is motivating his worldwide followers to bake, forage, learn Gaelic, enjoy a dram or two of whiskey, and seek a more wholesome and simple life. Connor McLeod, y'all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be here.
All righty, the Hebrides Island, way up there. Almost, it was part of Norway back in the day. And when we say back in the day, we're talking like 1200s, right?
So the Vikings came over in the 8th century, and it's wonderful. For most people, the Outer Hebrides are far, far north. But for the Vikings, they called it Sudrier, the far south islands. And it still really resonates today, the Viking culture on the islands. And you spoke about the language of Gaelic, which comes from Gaelic, the Irish language, but it's about 50% of it is Gaelic, 50% of it is Old West Norse. So we're quite hard to understand, even when I speak English.
Hey, man, I got you covered on the hard to understand thing. Don't even worry. The seasons there, the sunshine or lack of, the winter, tell us about your seasons.
Yeah, so, we're so lucky in the summertime, you really do have nearly 24 hours a day of daylight. But unfortunately, with all that goodness, there is a lot of darkness in the winter, and really we only get about 3 hours of daylight in the winter time. But we still celebrate it. Where you'd be surprised to hear that we like to have a few celebrations even in the winter time in Scotland. I think my particular favourite, we celebrate the winter solstice. Our Christmas starts on the 21st of December, and we keep drinking till Hogmanay on the 31st of December. But there is the 21st we call the Eiche and the Shack Superin. They say that there's so much darkness for that 21 hours that you've got time to eat dinner 7 times before the sun rises again. And we certainly do.
You know, I think we do both those things in Mississippi, eat 7 dinners and drink for the rest of December. But I noticed there's some great seafood in this book, even though you are a baker, and there's a lot of desserts, obviously, but the lobster, the fresh lobster that y'all eat up there. I'm thinking, how do you ever go out to a restaurant anymore?
It's very true, actually. It's hard when you've got such great produce, be it our lamb, our lobster. I mean, I'm kind of going to wave and see who's been to Scotland and make all these radio folk jealous if they haven't been. But it's amazing to see. Do you know what? It's amazing to see that the culture and food and traditions of Scotland still resonate so much over in the US, and that there's a power. We call it Cionolis in Gaelic, this power to draw people back to Scotland. And I think the food side of things is becoming getting back in fashion again. I said our fresh food, our traditional recipes, which is a huge part of my book, is finding those old recipes from those old dusty cookbooks I found from the 18th and 19th century and bringing them back and giving them a wee bit of a modern twist again.
You're a self-described cookbook nerd.
I am a cookbook nerd.
So you collect them from all over?
I certainly do, and there's some fantastic old Scottish cookbooks. And again, what I try and do is find the most interesting, and the ones with the stories as well, like a bride's bonne, which is a Shetland shortbread, which a mother of the bride will smash over her daughter's head on her wedding day, or a Scots flummery, which was the last thing that Flora McDonald had before she went to jail for helping Bonnie Prince Charlie escape from Culloden. You know, these amazing stories, but through food. Is there not a better way to do it?
You in the book, you mentioned that you planted 6 apple trees, and I wanted to ask you about the progress about the trees. How are the trees going?
The deer love them. I feel like that might resonate over here a wee bit as well. So yes, the deer are delighted with our new orchard.
None of them have made it.
I haven't got there fast enough to get an apple yet.
Wow!
It beat me to it.
So that's a universal problem. Now, I was asking you earlier about wild game, and obviously there's not going to be a lot of deer or venison recipes in this particular book, but is it, we're very big on wild game here. We eat a lot of deer. Is that big over in Scotland?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for us, we very much try and use our produce and every single bit of it, every bit of the fish, every bit of the sheep, every bit of the deer. It's very important to us to use those things wisely and use them in the way that traditionally we would.
Now let's do talk about some of the sweets, because this is, again, you're a baker. This is a book of baking. A good portion of these recipes are made with whiskey. The rest of them are just incredibly rich. And in the wintertime, I'm just thinking you got, 3 hours of sunshine. Why don't you weigh 350 pounds? That's what I'm trying to get.
This is a good corset I have on here underneath my kilt. No, you know what? I've got the sweetest tooth in the world, and I hope a few folk out there enjoy a wee treat every so often as well. And be it a classic, I love to put a twist on a classic and put a Scottish flavor on that classic dish. And I really, you know, I always think you kind of take my cookbook out when your aunt or your sister's coming round to visit and you want like this kind of hearty, kind of cozy cake for an afternoon gossip. That's what my cookbook's all about.
Afternoon gossip. Yeah, we can speak that language. We mentioned music, and music is certainly very big in the Mississippi and in the Southern culture. Also huge in Scotland.
Very much so. Yeah.
And you yourself are a musician.
I try. A
singer. You actually have an album out?
Yeah. Well, just a single so far. We released the Gaelic rendition of Auld Lang Syne, which had never been done before. It went out just before Christmas there. Our band is the Hogmanay Boys, which, did really well. It was amazing to hear yourself on the radio.
Yeah.
Which I hope people will tonight, you know.
I don't know if it's amazing or not. Would you mind singing for us a second?
Well,
here,
you know, there's a great tradition of Gaelic singing called Push the Beal, which is mouth music. And they're usually created through the Strathspeys and the reels when we couldn't afford to have instruments. And often they add gossip from the different villages and tongue twisters. The one I'll sing very quickly is called Nian the Calliche Crothiche Crobig, which is the daughter of the hunchback old lady who lives over the hill. And I know many of you'll know it, so please sing along with me in this one. So it goes a wee bit like this. So, On ye in the Calliche Crothiche Crobig, Hyontigi Cools, Rodgikiram, Vrepiki Cousin Marshacher and Nul, at Hyontigi Cools, Rodgikiram, Ye in the Calliche Crothiche Crobig, Hyontigi Cools, Rodgikiram, Vrepiki Cousin Marshacher and Nul, at Hyontigi Cools, Rodgikiram, Hyontigi Cool, if Hyontigi Cool, if Hyontigi Cool, the Srodgikiram, Hyontigi Cool, if Hyontigi Cool, if Hyontigi Cool, the Srodgikiram, Hyontigi Cool, the Vrepikan Tool, at Hyontigi Cool, the Srodgikiram, On ye in the Calliche Crothiche Crobig, Hyontigi Cool, Srodgikiram. Whoop!
Absolutely wonderful. We've got about 3 more minutes. Do you want to tell a story? Or?
Look, I'm going to tell the quickest story in the world, but my father was a fisherman in the North Atlantic, and at the weekend he'd come home and he'd have a wee rowing boat, and one day he was coming back, he had lobster pots and everything, and he was rowing back, and lo and behold, he smashed into a boat. Not only did he smash into a boat, he smashed into the Royal Yacht Britannia. And who was leaning over the side but the Queen and Princess Margaret? And the Queen leans over the side and says to my father, where have you been? That's my Queen accent, by the way. Where have you been? And my father looks up and says, I've been to the lobsters. Where have you been? And the Queen says, we're on our holidays. We're off to Balmoral. But we've broken down. And my father says, oh, that's terrible. Have you got anything in for dinner? And the Queen said no, no. Now, I'd be very surprised if the Queen left Buckingham Palace with nothing in for dinner. But according to my father, there was nothing. So he gifted them lobsters and crabs and waved them goodbye. And as my father could only do, he kind of stopped at the other 29 houses on the way home and had a whiskey before he got back to ours telling the story. But lo and behold, 2 weeks later, a letter arrived. And it had my father's name, Donald John MacLeod, from the village of Cremor, Isle of Lewis. And in the top right-hand corner, there was a stamp from Balmoral. And it said, "Dear Mr. MacLeod, firstly, will you apologize to the village if we caused any problems when we broke down a couple of weeks ago? We feasted on your lobsters and crabs that night, and it was the best meal we had on our trip to Balmoral. See you next year. Queenie, no, Lizzie. I can't remember how she signs her name, but let's say Lizzie." And we all stood around going, he actually told the truth. He had actually met the Queen. And I do remember he was quite proudly kind of folding the letter into his top pocket. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I might be one of the only folk in the world that can honestly say that my father gave the Queen crabs. And she... and she said thank you as well. So I think if that doesn't sum up life in the Hebrides, I don't know what does. My mother and father really influenced me in what I do. My mother was a Harris tweed weaver, my father a fisherman. And even though maybe I didn't take up those industries, they are very much at my heart. And I know in this area as well that family traditions, family stories, family recipes are very, very important. And that's everything that's important to me. I never wanted these stories to get lost. And it's so easy to happen. So the book is filled with traditional stories and those recipes that I know you would absolutely love.
Thank you. Connor MacLeod, y'all.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks, man.
The Hebridean Baker, at home, flavors and folk tales from the Scottish Islands. And of course, Connor will join us after the show, sign copies, maybe sing a little more. Man, great stuff, great recipes. And again, a lot of sweet dishes, a lot of desserts, baked goods, as you might imagine, in this book. You will want to go out and prepare some of these dishes. And then, I don't know, get everybody a treadmill for Christmas, I guess, because, boy, it is some rich stuff. Hey, speaking of rich stuff, let's get another tune from our favorite live radio band in this land. It is Effie Burt with the Yellow Bushwhackers.
Let's go. myself a rover to a halfway. Keep me, please. Oh, that was too much for me. That's why I walked the back streets and cried.
Time, y'all, Yalla Bushwhackers and Evie Burt. Like to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us here from the great Powerhouse Arts Center in Oxford, Mississippi, and you're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi, 92.1 in Oxford. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Red Panther, the good folks at OPA, Cathead Distillery, and Withco Cocktails. Also our sponsors, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the Yana Batafa Arts Council, we thank them so much, Freeland Drum Lab, thank them, Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation, Water Valley, Mississippi. I hope it's still down there. Didn't get blown away. The Mississippi Arts Commission, the good folks at Visit Mississippi, the good folks at Square Books, and R&B Fader Foundation. Also, our affiliates where you can hear us, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, WUTC in Chattanooga, Tennessee, WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, and KNCE True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico, out near your neck of the woods. We thank all of our affiliates, all our listeners and supporters. You too can be a Thacker backer. There's more information right outside that door and also on ThackerMountain.org. Our website, Keon Love, he's no org, he's a real person. Thank you, Keon. All right, our next guest is author Richard Grant, very well known to many folks in this audience. Yeah. Not only literarily for Dispatches from Pluto, his great book about the Mississippi Delta a few years ago, then The Most Southern Place on Earth a few years after that. This new one is called A Race to the Bottom of Crazy. Dispatches from Arizona, memoirs, some research, a lot of reporting. He goes to a lot of the crazy hot spots there in Arizona, and there are many, and some of the beautiful scenery there. You've got this great phrase, the deserts that have skies that look like islands in the sky. That is such a great, we all know what a great writer he is. Y'all please welcome Richard Grant. I mean, I'm reading along, and you and your wife are picking out tile from your new bathroom, and I'm thinking, how am I reading this? And it's because you're such a great writer. And then the very next page, they're torturing people in the Sierra Madre's mountains. And I say, there we go, now we're back. But you, in your younger days, you sought out dangerous assignments.
Yeah, I was kind of a wild, fairly unhinged young man. I was a freelance reporter, and I would go to Africa and Haiti and Mexico, and was willing to take risks to get stories that couldn't be got otherwise.
And you really did the nomads, and you're covering bandidos in Mexico, and some of those interactions dicey, to say the least.
Yeah, the thing about taking risks, I discovered, is that nothing happens until it happens. There's no gradual escalation of danger. And I thought things were going well for me in the Sierra Madre Mountains of Mexico until I got hunted through the woods at night by hillbillies on cocaine, Mexican hillbillies.
Yeah.
It was a very, very frightening night. I kind of put it in the book because, you know, now I'm kind of like the family man trying to avoid risks, stay alive for my daughter.
Right.
Figure it's my number one job in life.
Yeah.
So I was kind of reflecting back on my younger self in this book and trying to figure out, like, who was that guy?
Yeah, you do have that story in this book, Race to the Bottom of Crazy, where you're hanging out with these guys earlier on in the evening, and then you sort of get away from them and you drive up to your campsite knowing full well they're going to come later in the night to either rob you or kill you or both. So you leave your car there and then you go and hide and watch, and sure enough.
Yeah, I was running and hiding most of that night.
It still
makes me.
I know, I'm getting scared right now. I'm thinking, how did you hide from the? And so they go looking for you. Then they look for you a second time. They bring another couple of pals out. They bring flashlights, and they didn't find you. That's very scary.
Yeah, that was the most scary experience I've ever had.
Yeah. So, and all of this, again, is in the book. You sort of go back and forth reflecting on some of these things, and then you bring us up to date. Again, y'all are redoing the bathroom, so your wife is all interested in the tile. And just a minute ago, you're being chased, you know, by Mexican banditos. So you've kind of given up looking for dangerous assignments.
I've started avoiding it whenever possible.
Still writing.
I mean, I'm a dad now. I got a 9-year-old daughter. I can't be throwing my life away foolishly. Not only did she lose a father, but she would think her lost father was an idiot for taking the risk.
That's no legacy. Yeah, Isabel, your daughter, is mentioned quite frequently in the book, and we really feel for her when you and your wife tell her that y'all are going to leave Mississippi and move to Arizona. And even in the book, you say she still tells people she's from Mississippi.
Yeah, she still tells people. She was born in Jackson, and she also got adopted by a family. When we lived in the Delta, we became very close with the Thompson family who lived down the road. And Kathy Thompson is Isabel's grandmother.
Right.
And so when we moved to Arizona, where my wife is from, we had to kind of like break them up. But the bond is still there. Kathy flies out to visit us, and we were in Pluto last summer. So
oh wow, yeah.
They're still very much grandmother and granddaughter.
So you were born in London, and your wife is from Arizona, and your daughter was raised in Mississippi. I'm just wondering, what is her accent like? How does she?
I remember when she was younger, it was very confused. I remember right. One time she's like, "Daddy, I'm fitting to take a bath."
Fitting. Yeah, a little confused,
but she's straightened out. She straightened it out now. Sounds like an American kid.
All right, we think we're pretty crazy here in Mississippi, but the stuff you write about out there in Arizona, they may have us beat. There's some pretty eccentric characters out there. For example, on their state seal, George Warren. Tell us about George.
On the Arizona state seal, there's a picture of this kind of mining prospector. His name was George Warren. And he swindled his way into 1/6 of the richest copper mine in Arizona. And then, drinking one day, he bet his entire share of the mine to another guy that he could outrun a man on a horse. It didn't go well for George. He lost the bet, and he spent the rest of his life in alcoholic penury. And at one point, he was sold himself into peonage in Mexico, and he got bought out of that. And he wound up sweeping up saloons in exchange for a shot of rock gut whiskey. And then the people who were designing the state seal, someone had taken a picture of him, and they saw this picture of this prospector on the wall of a bank in Bisbee, Arizona. They're like, "That's our man for the state seal."
Tried to outrun a horse. And this was it a gold mine that he bet?
Copper mine.
A copper mine. It ended up being like one of the world's biggest or something.
Yeah, yeah. One of the world's richest copper mines. Yeah, he would have been a millionaire if he hadn't become convinced he could outrun a man on a horse.
Man. Drinking some of that Scottish whiskey that Connor was talking about. Stephen Gore, interesting fellow from the Biological Resource Center.
Yeah, there's this kind of unlicensed kind of human cadaver industry in Arizona where people think they're donating the bodies of their loved ones for medical research. But this guy, he was totally unscrupulous. He just sold the bodies to the military for blast testing experiments. But he was also like sewing mismatched heads on. He sewed like a man's head onto a woman's body. Like the FBI agents that raided that place were apparently traumatized. There was buckets full of penises and limbless torsos. And
so where you want to go for dinner after this, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad we brought Georgia. David Grundman,
he's another Arizona anti-hero. He was a kind of a short order cook and a drug dealer that had done some time for trying to rip off his own clients. And he went out into the desert where the giant saguaro cactuses grow. And they're basically columns of water. They weigh an ungodly amount. Took a shotgun and he started blasting away at this saguaro cactus, and it toppled over and simultaneously impaled and crushed him to death.
Man.
They sing songs about that guy.
Just instant karma. Help me with the pronunciation of this Indian tribe we talked about earlier, the Chiricahuas?
Chiricahua Apaches. This was Geronimo and Cochise, their people. Yeah, I became interested in them actually for my first book, which was called American Nomads, and I read a lot about them. And one of the most, the U.S. Army spent a long time trying and failing to catch them, just because they could cover ground. They could run 100 miles a day and keep it up day after day. And it was faster than the cavalry could get through that country on a horse. And they were experts at hiding. And finally, they figured out that they could hire Apaches that weren't Chiricahuas as scouts. And they would. That's how they finally got Geronimo to surrender.
Yeah, you say in the book they could run, like you say, hours all day, 100 miles. 100. Even, and they had elderly and children with them.
Yep.
Still.
Yep.
These guys almost sound like they could outrun horses. They could certainly move.
Well, that was the thing about George Warren. I should have mentioned this, that as a boy, he was kidnapped by the Apaches.
Ah.
And the miners bought him for 2 sacks of sugar, but he had seen an Apache outrun a horse over a short distance.
And he said, hey, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Very much so.
Well, you've certainly made me admire the state of Arizona and Arizonians, I guess I'd say. Very quickly, though, we don't want to get too far into the... In fact, we don't want to get into it at all, the January 6th. But we all remember the guy with the headset, the headdress.
The face of the January 6th, yeah, Jacob Chansley had the bison horn headdress. And
what state was he from, ladies and gentlemen? Wasn't Mississippi.
No, it was not. It was the great state of Arizona.
Yeah.
And he was trying to make it as an actor. He was like living with his mother, like following this strict vegan diet. And he was the kind of, I thought he was the kind of only in Arizona guy. He was always at protests and demonstrations. And then lo and behold, he turns into the face of the January 6th insurrection. I was like, there's another win for Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. trying to make it as a voice actor and living with his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kind
of
guy.
Oh,
man.
He just got out of prison and he ran for office.
Oh, after the January 6th, he went to prison. Now he's out.
Now he wants to be a politician.
Well, of course. I mean, that's.
See the opportunities that are available to you.
I mean,
in Arizona.
The fundraising does itself. That's. This book is just chock full of page after page. We've just haven't even started on all the wonderful characters that you've unearthed, because you are quite the reporter and a fine writer. Again, you can make remodeling your bath. And how is your bathroom, by the way?
My bathroom's great, Jim.
Okay. Because I really worried about the tiles, because y'all had a thing going, you and your wife, about these tiles. And finally, you bailed on the tiles.
Yeah, I opted out of bathroom decision-making completely.
Well, you make it all interesting, and like all of your books, it is a fun, fun read, and so interesting and funny in places, scary in places when you're hiding from the banditos, but highly recommended. Good luck with it. Thanks for being here one more time, y'all, for Richard Grant.
All right.
A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona by Richard Grant. Really a fun book. And Richard will hang out with us after the show with the good folks at Square Books, and we'll visit some more, and he will sign your copy and your aunt and uncle's copy and all these other folks you want to get one for. You may even want to hand the book down. And speaking of hand-me-downs, ladies and gentlemen, our next band is Jeff Hewlett and the Hand-Me-Downs. Great, great name. They're from Memphis. Is that right, gentlemen? Memphis, Tennessee. Great music town. Have an album on the way called Little Windows. Should be out shortly. Have a single video out from that album you can catch now called See Her Again. They also have a wonderful song. You said y'all have to work it up again. Kind of a John Prine-ish kind of song called Facebook Feed that we can all enjoy. But y'all please welcome Jeff Hewlett and the Hand-Me-Downs.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Driving here from Memphis was an adventure today. So we hope you enjoy what you hear, and we'll be out in the lobby afterwards. Hopefully get to meet some of y'all. First song will be the second song on Little Windows. It's called Rich Man. And by the way, that record will be out on November 15th. dry land. Why I'm not the only one feeling like a lonely one, seeing the forest for the trees, standing on this dirty bank. Thank you very much. I'm definitely a fan of dry land today. I wish we had some dry land. This next song is called Open Road. In my bones, step outside and be All right, so think back to February, January of 2020 for a second. I was in Memphis, and I got an email from Thacker, and they said, we want you to come. We want you to come play. We want you to come play in April. So excited. So excited. And then we all know what happened, and I did not come. But I thought it was very cool that Thacker Mountain Radio asked me to send a song. And you know, we live in Memphis, so we get Thacker and WYXR. And, I remember sitting outside listening to an episode that featured one of my songs in the middle of the pandemic. My kids running around, neighbors kind of social distancing. So it just means the world to be here in person. Just anytime I'm somewhere in person now, I do not take it for granted. So thank you so much for being here. Uh-oh, I got a tune. This is an adventure. The song is called Let Go of the Letdown. Yeah, this song is about, it's really up to your own interpretation. I know what it's about to me. Oh, go the letdown. Thank you so much, y'all.
Jeff Hewlett and the Hand-Me-Downs, y'all. Let them hear you. Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for being here, man. I'm glad we did get it together. I also want to remind you to keep an eye out for their album when it comes out, Little Windows. And, of course, that single already out, See Her Again. Jeff Hewlett and the Hand-Me-Downs, one more time for them, y'all. And all of our guests, if you don't mind, Connor McLeod. Connor, thank you. He will join us after the show. Hebridean Baker at Home, Flavors and Folklores from the Scottish Islands. Richard Grant, y'all, Dispatches from Arizona, A Race to the Bottom of Crazy. He will be out front and visit with us. And one more time for the great Effie Burt. Effie, thank you so much. That is a real microphone you are toting, too. That
Coco Taylor had this microphone.
Oh, man. Well, you got it going on. Look, we're going to hear one more Coco song for y'all. Thank y'all so much for being here. Check us out on the radio. Check us out on the website, thackermountain.org. Run by our table and grab a T-shirt and say hey to our interns out there. They're a little lonely out there. They'd love for you to speak at them and maybe get on our list if you're not already. In the meantime, we'll see you on the radio.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live once and then you're dead and gone.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
All right.